We're already a month into 2018.
Yeah.
Woo. The year is 8% over. How do you feel about that? We had an interesting weekend, challenging weekend. My daughter got pneumonia Thursday, and so on Friday she was admitted into Dell Children's Hospital. And I just got a message from my wife that she's coming home after lunch today. So thankful about that. Very thankful. Thank you for praying. Some of y'all saw my message on Facebook. So thank y'all for praying for us and taking care of us. We had somebody bring us dinner last night. It was awesome. So thank you for that. So we are in the middle of a message series right now called How to Be Made Whole. How to be made whole. And this is different message series, sermon series, whatever you want to call it, than normal. This one really is a journey, all right? This one kind of marinates, and over a two-month period, it's going to open up some things for you and teach some things to you. God's going to be speaking to you. That's probably the most important thing. God's going to be sharing something with you individually about Him, about you. And so I'm encouraging everybody, if you haven't started 2018 really putting your focus on God and thinking about Him, I want to encourage you, even though it's 8% over, we still got 92%, come on, of 2018. To put our best foot forward. And it's not with setting a resolution. It's just simply with allowing God some time. And so you're here today. That's huge. That's a big part of it. Putting God first in your week. Putting Him at Sunday. Making a priority to come here on Sunday. And over the course of this sermon series, I'm really believing that you'll begin to hear God speak to you clearly. And then you'll have the chance to respond or not. That'll be your choice. So the very first week, we talked about you just setting some time daily to get alone with God and pray. Read scripture, even if it's 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day. Set that aside. And then take a day of the week and just fast from something. Fast from food, fast from social media. Fast from the internet, which some of y'all is like, how could anyone live without the internet? I'd rather not eat food than not go to the internet, right? How about you leave your cell phone at home? Start twitching or something if you got to do that. Break away from the normal routine and it's amazing how much you'll hear God speak to you when you're fasting from the ordinary routine. So I want to encourage you to keep on doing that. There's things that we have in our life, and in the beginning of the year, we always think about them. What's that one thing I want to change? If I could fix that coworker, they just quit acting that way, you know? If I could just fix my bank account, just had a little more in there, that would be so awesome. Or my husband, if he would just quit blank. You know what I'm talking about? Blank, either there's nothing there, or blank, you just cussed and you had to bleep it out. If he would just stop, if he would just stop, or she would just stop, my kids, yeah, bye. We've got these things that are on the surface of our life that we'd like to change. And I've been doing this myself, really evaluating through prayer and fasting, what are the areas of my life that cause me the most stress, that make me angry, that make me upset, and they just keep reoccurring? Those are the areas that we want to change. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have things that we want to be different. But instead of fixing this one thing and thinking that it's going to solve the rest of my life, Jesus offers a better way. Because once you pass a certain age, you realize, if I fix this, a few months from now, something's going to pop up over here, then I got to fix that. and then I got to go back over here, and then I got to go back over there, and I'm just going back and forth all the time. But Jesus offers a better way. There was a man that was sitting at the pool of Bethesda. This is in Jerusalem, and he had been crippled for 38 years. We don't know exactly what his ailment was, but we know that he was laying at this certain pool called the Pool of Bethesda. For 38 years, he had been disabled. And he lived in a culture, community, that was very cutthroat. He would try to get help, and every time he would jump up to get help, other people would cut in front of him, and they would take away the resource from him. He could never catch a break. And so he kept trying for years. And that's just the culture he lived in, the environment that he lived in. And it, to be quite honest, it feels a lot probably like your work culture or your neighborhood or something like that. Like, as soon as you feel like you're going to get it, you're going to fix it, you're going to change it, somebody else cuts you off, or, you know, it just slips out of your grasp and you can't get it. Well, Jesus walks by this man, and instead of this man having to fight to get to Jesus, Jesus comes to him and says to him, "Would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be made whole?" Jesus goes to him. This is an amazing concept, that he doesn't have to try to appeal to Jesus or perform for Jesus or impress Jesus. Instead, Jesus comes to him and personally asks him, "Would you like to be made whole?" And that's the question that God is asking each and every one of you in here today. Those of you watching online today, God's saying, "Would you like to be made whole?" Not just fix this thing and fix that thing, but wholeness. The surface, the 10% that everybody sees in your life, that everybody tries to fix and prop up and paint and make it look good and all that kind of thing, right? That's the 10% that we spend the most time on. But there's 90% of us below the surface that is the depth of who we are. Jesus wants to come into your life and heal you, not just the surface, not just the ailment that is screaming at you every day, but way down, body, soul, and spirit, all the way down to the depths of who you are. The mistakes that you've made, the pain of your past, the pride of your life, all the way down the very depth of who you think you are and who you think God is. That's at the very, very, very depth of who we are. And it is from that foundation of who we think God is and who we think we ourselves are that all the rest of our being is made known. So this is what Jesus is asking you today. Would you like to be made whole all the way through your existence? And Jesus wants to start at the very bottom. Who are you? And who am I? And if that would be healed, if that would just rest in the truth, then God is going to work that truth up through the rest of the layers of your life, all the way up to the very top, so that some of those things are going to be healed, erased supernaturally, miracle signs and wonders. God can do that. We believe that. We pray and God works. And then there's some of those requests that we pray and God says no. And even if he says no, we're still not going to be upset and mad and angry, because we are resting in who he is and who we are. Yes. Are y'all awake today? Yes. Will preached a couple weeks ago, week two, an awesome message. And this is something that we want to keep building on every single week. And that is that wholeness comes from us being. That's it. Us being. Wholeness comes from us being. Being what? Being who God says that we are. Wholeness comes from being. You're a human being. And even Mike Breen last week touched on this at the beginning of his message. This is covenant. This is who we are. This is our relationship with God. Wholeness, if you want to be whole, if you want to fix your life, that comes from being. If you missed one of these messages in the last few weeks, I encourage you, go back January 7th, I think, and 14th. Those are the first two messages. Those are pivotal messages in this series. If you missed them, go grab them. But do you know this? God says, wholeness comes from what God says. Somebody say, say. What God says about you. It's always awkward after a pastor says that. You're not sure when to stop saying whatever he just said. So God bless all of you that kind of trailed off there at the end. You can stop now. Whenever God says something, it becomes a fact. Even if it doesn't exist before God says it, as soon as God says it, it becomes true because God said it. Right? If it doesn't exist, if it's not true, as soon as it comes from God, as soon as he says it, it is created. It is true. It changes. Even if it's this way, and then God says, no, that's not right. This is the way it should be. It changes as soon as God says that. God is that powerful. How do we know that? Because we read it in the Bible. The very first chapter of the Bible, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. And God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. And then 12 chapters later in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be blessed to others. You'll be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God says that over a random guy, Abram. We didn't know who this guy was until God said something about him, and over him, now Abraham is the father of billions of people across the globe today. Biologically, through blood, through the Jewish nation, and even the Muslim nation, through Ishmael. He's the father of those folks. He's the father of a billion Christians who call on the name Jesus. The Jewish nation, in particularly, is blessed and supernaturally protected, and it's unfathomable that they even exist now through all the persecution that they've been through, how many times they were sent to Egypt, how many times they were sent to Babylon, how many times they were spread after the Roman government across the globe, Hitler and all what he did to them, persecution. Now 4,000 years later, after God said to Abram, you're going to be the father of many nations, now over 4,000 years later, we are living in the proof that what God says happens. Even when humans don't believe him and mess things up, because God said it, he finds a way to make it happen anyway. Because he's God and he has supernatural ability. Now, immediately after Jesus is baptized, this is early on in Jesus' public life. He's about 30 years old. He goes to the water in Jordan and he's baptized. And as soon as he's baptized, we hear a voice from heaven say, there's a proclamation, God says something very important again. This is my dearly loved son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, who brings me great joy. This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. We talk about this baptism all the time of Jesus. But let me tell you why. Because it is so important. What happens in the waters of baptism affects the rest of the world. It is not just some neat story about God saying something over Jesus. It's not just something inspirational that Jesus got baptized. Now we should be baptized. It is such a pivotal thing that happens in the timeline of the world. You know, like Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. Pretty big deal, right? Most Christians know that that's a big deal. The fact that Jesus was killed and that he was buried and that he resurrected from the dead. That physical, historical event is not just an inspirational thing, but it changed the world. Jesus' baptism is very, very similar to that. It is a huge thing. When this is proclaimed over Jesus, that is a prophetic proclamation, not just over Jesus, but over everyone in the future that will call on his name. So I want this baptism of Jesus to confront your belief about who you are right now and who you think Jesus is. And I know confront is a very difficult word to think about, but I wanted to challenge you today. I want Jesus' position in the water of baptism to really, you have to reconcile your life with that. To think about, who am I? Remember, all the way down to the depths of our being. You and I can become kids of God because of what God says over Jesus in the waters of baptism. It is at that moment, that proclamation over Jesus, that something began with you and I. We struggle with that. We have a hard time with that proclamation over our life, like you're good, because we know we're not good, right? We've lived a life that's not good. We've done things that are not right. And Jesus teaches us the perfect story for this. Jesus tells us this story of this young man. And this is not a, this thing, this story did not actually happen. This was something that Jesus told to paint a picture. And when you take this picture, this parable of Jesus, you can take every single part of it as a fact for your own life. Jesus, when he taught this, didn't make any mistakes in this parable, okay? If he said it, that's the way it is. And we talk about this story of the prodigal son a lot at Promised Land. And the reason why is because it teaches us, I believe, the most foundational message of the Bible. And so, let's keep talking about it. It's the most pivotal foundational concept of the Bible. A young boy asks his father for his inheritance before the father dies. His father grants him that request. The son takes all of that money and goes out and lives on his own, and he wastes it all. That is us. That's us individually. That's us as a species. We have taken earth, the world which God has given us. He gave it to us, and we have squandered it. We've wasted it. We find ourselves powerless and hungry. This is what the boy, the young man, found himself. He's broke and hungry, and he's eating out of the pig's trough, and he simply wants to go home, and he has it in his head, my dad's servants eat better than I do. So I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to be a servant on my dad's estate. And so he figures this out in his mind, and he begins going to his dad's home. And as he's walking down the dirt driveway to see his dad, he begins rehearsing what he's going to tell his dad. Dad, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done this. I wasted all of your money. And I've come back to just simply ask you to forgive me. And if you'll just put me on that back, that old cabin out in the back, you know, I'll just work the fields. I'll just help with the livestock. You won't even see me. I'll just be out back. I'll just call you master. I'll just call you Lord. If I could just be, so he's rehearsing this in his mind as he's walking down the dirt path. Well, his father sees him eventually coming down the path, and he begins to gather people around because he sees that he's coming. He finally arrives to his father's presence, and he begins his speech to his dad. He falls on his knees, and he begins talking to his dad, and his dad is not paying any attention to him. Dad, I'm sorry. He's going into it. His dad, meanwhile, is saying, go get that calf that we've been raising. You know the one that we've been fattening up. Go get that. Go get my robe, get my ring, go get some sandal. He's busy planning a party while his son is on his knees begging for forgiveness. Instead of listening to the rebellious son's heart and speech, he's gathering supplies for a party. Listen to this. The father accepts the young man when he sees him walking down the road. Just walking down the road, he's back. Wholeness comes from being accepted by God. There's an incredible display of this mercy and acceptance by Abraham Lincoln. At the end of the Civil War, he was asked, how are you going to treat the rebellious Southerners when the war is over? He replied, I will treat them as though they've never been away. Wow. When Jesus is telling this story, remember, Jesus doesn't mess up on this story. He got it right because he invented this story. He could have invented it any way he wanted to, right? He purposely said, when the boy was still a long way, when the boy was still a long way off, the father said to his servants, filled with love and compassion, go get all these things. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. The son is accepted onto the property, and the father begins to throw a party, and it's not just any party. When he was still a long way off, there's people in here today that feel like you're so far away from God, and the truth is, you are. But there's good news. Even when you're still a long way off, the Father has his arms open wide, ready to accept everybody in here today. He is ready, willing, and able. He's got a smile on his face. He doesn't have a list, a tablet. Now, well, let's make sure this happens, and let's make sure this. And if he says this, then I will know. No, that's not what happens. When he's still a long way off, before he can even hear what the Son has to tell him, he is ready to accept him. And that's what I want you to hear today, that your wholeness, the change that you've been wanting in your life, is not going to come when this is fixed or that's fixed or whatever. It's going to come when you realize that Jesus is ready to accept you with his arms wide open before you can say anything to him, when he sees you walking toward him. We call this repentance, walking toward the Father. I'm walking towards God. And this is the way we live the rest of our life. We live in this repentant state. Lord, I'm walking away from the old me, and I'm walking toward you. When God sees us turning our back on the old way and we're committed into walking and living with him in his estate, his kingdom, he says, come on, all you who are weary, all you who are burdened down with 2018 mess, come on, I welcome you. I welcome you. And he doesn't just welcome you as a friend. He doesn't even welcome you just as a servant. It says, his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we've been fattening. We're going to have some ribs. We're going to have some brisket. Come on, get that good old sauce that we've been mixing up. These were very nice items. They were very expensive items, but they weren't just nice and expensive. These items actually communicated something because of what they were. It was communicating that this young man was being reinstated as a son and not just a servant. Bring the robe. The robe is a sign of purity, symbolizing honor. It served to erase the visible scars and wounds of the pig pen. It covers the past of the son. And those of us that have heard the message of Jesus Christ understand that his blood that he shed on the cross is the robe that covers our sin and our mess, covering the stains and the dirt of your life. He gives him the ring. The ring is a privileged symbol of authority. The signet ring would have had the family crest on it. And whoever has the ring can stamp the authority of the father and have the authority of the family because you have the family ring. It was like a signature, but it was, if you had this physical ring, they would melt the wax and they would stamp the sign of authority. So I want you to go get a family ring and put it on his finger. Authority. Shoes. He gave him shoes. Now, some of us, like everybody, wears shoes, but not back in this day and time. If you're a family member, you got the sandals. If you were outside the family, you didn't. You were bare feet. So only the servants were barefoot, but sons wore sandals. The father said, this is what the father said. He proclaimed it. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son, the son of mine, was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. The father proclaims over this rebellious young man that he is his son. Wholeness is about being a child of God. I want you to understand this. It's not about earning your position with God. It's about what God says about you. It's about receiving what God says about you. You are my son. The position of son was declared over this prodigal. It was proclaimed. The father proclaimed this over the rebellious son before the son got his speech out. before he lived 3 months in a grace period. Right? How many of us would be like, okay, we're going to let you back on the property. You're in a trial period. Right? Oh, don't act like you. Oh, I would let him back. No, you wouldn't. The Father doesn't have any prerequisites, because this is the gospel. This is the good news. The Father pays the price to have family. And that's what's so awesome about Jesus. 1 John 3:1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that's what we are. God is welcoming you. Now, I want to tell you, I'm speaking to people. First time you've ever been to Promised Land today. I know that we got some guests here today. First time you've ever been here. Some of you, first time you've been to church ever, maybe. Or first time you've been to church in a long, long time. This message is for you. You didn't come here by accident today. I know you thought you just were going to kind of do it and leave and you're doing somebody a favor. No, God's trying to speak to you today. Come on in the family. You thought you're here by accident. I'm calling out to you. Would you walk down the dirt road? Would you come on with me? I'm also speaking to some elders in here, some pastors, some small group leaders, some people that have been in church all your life, and you thought you just graduated away from this. You went to a meet. We don't ever want to graduate from this. You want to be resting in this. This should be the posture that you do everything from. This should be where you're planted. You're planted in your identity. You're fully immersed in your identity as a son or a daughter of God. Next Sunday is a huge Sunday here. It's called Super Sunday at Promised Land. Super Bowl Sunday, but it's going to be even better in the house of the Lord. Because we're going to be fully immersing people in baptism. Baptism is to be immersed. We're going to be, this is a baptistry right over here. And anybody in our congregation that has yet to be water baptized, we want to invite you in to this special, special time. What water baptism is all about is a symbol, it's an outward symbol of what I'm talking about today. Of you going down into a watery grave, being buried with Christ, but then coming up out of that water, just like Jesus came up out of the grave, and you have the fullness of God in your persona. You're a new person. You're immersed in this new identity, the fullness of who God is. And this is what goes back to the baptism. No matter who you are, no matter what you came from, or what you've been addicted to, or what you're bound by, or whatever, you say, how far is too far from God that he wouldn't open his arms to you? If you really knew what I had done, you probably wouldn't say that I'm eligible, because I'm really messed up. The Bible gives us the answer for that. Acts, the 2nd chapter, the 21st verse, tells us just simply who can come to God and find salvation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 2:21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What happens is this: when you call on the name Jesus, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my world. I want to get into your world. I'm coming home down that road. I'm coming to your house. You know what happens? That statement that was said over Jesus in baptism, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, is transferred to you. That's what's so important, is that Jesus is declared righteous and good by God, and that he's pleased with him because Jesus went to the cross and took on our sin. The amazing gospel of Jesus Christ is that now whoever calls on his name, whoever calls on Jesus' name, receives what Jesus received. And you say, well, that's cheap. No, it was very expensive. It was very costly. He gave his life so that you could call on his name and be saved. He was beaten and tortured and made fun of. He could have moved a pinky and annihilated all those Roman soldiers. He could have thought a thought. He could have said a word. But he didn't. He willingly took on that punishment that we deserve, so that now, in 2018, salvation was paid for by what he did for us. And now it is our privilege and honor to live the rest of our life for him. To live as a son, to live as a daughter. I want to pray right now. I'd love for you to pray with me. In fact, why don't you just bow your heads with me? Some of you are like the man at the pool of Bethesda. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And every time there was an opportunity for you to catch a break, someone always jumped in the way. But I want you to know today that Jesus is personally asking you right now, would you like to be made whole? Would you like to receive access? Would you like to receive forgiveness? Would you like to receive authority as a son or a daughter? Take on the name that's above every name. A family signet, a family name, a power that's above every power. Anyone today that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The door to salvation is Jesus Christ, and he welcomes you with open arms today. And so this means a confession, like we declare it with our mind and our mouth. Sometimes for the very first time, we say, Lord, I'm coming toward you. I'm coming down that road toward you right now. For others of you, you've said that before, but over the course of your existence, you've tried to take your own way and you tried to prove yourself, and you've been listening to the lies of the enemy. You've been listening to the lies of people around you, and you've been trying to prove yourself and earn it and figure it out and get there and stay there. And once you got saved, you try to hold on to it and fight and claw and dig. And Lord, we want to lay that down today and just believe, God, that your grace is so good. And your spirit is so powerful that we could live a holy life like you. Not out of fear and not out of guilt, but because of your love is so strong for us. So let's just declare that to God right now. Let's just say, God, I want to be a part of your world. Just tell him right now in your own words. Just say, God, I want to come home. I want to come home, God. I want to live with you, God. I want to be in your estate. I want to be in your kingdom. I have squandered and I have lost, but I am ready for you. When you say those kind of things, what you're doing is you're walking down that dirt road. You're just coming down. Lord, I want to be with you. Please forgive me. I'm not wanting anything but you. I want you, God. Thank you for receiving us today. Why don't you just show your appreciation and say, Lord, thank you for accepting me. I don't deserve it. I have sinned. I have done so many things wrong. But Lord, I want to thank you for receiving me today. And I have a humble heart, a repentant heart. I repent, Lord, and I laid down my life for you. He's excited. He's welcoming us today. Lord, thank you for putting me in as your kid. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to be your kid. Lord, thank you. Let's pray this, and this is probably the biggest prayer and the best prayer for all of us in here today, but Lord, let that position as child of God truly work its way through every thought that I have, every reaction. Lord, let that be the core of who I am so that nothing happens away from that posture. I don't want to have a life here on Sunday and then a different life at work, Lord. I don't want to have a different life in my romantic life, a different life at the ball field or whatever. Lord, I want to do everything from my position and my posture as your son, your daughter. And this is what we need him to really work with us over the next few days. Lord, we want you to continue to speak to us. Allow this truth to just work its way through every concern, every painful relationship, every issue that we have with business deals and contracts and clients, all the things that we deal with education and tests and applications and SATs and finals and midterms and sororities and fraternities and extracurricular sports and all the things. Lord, just let my position as your son or your daughter just fully work its way through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now. Thank God. Yeah. Amen.